Today's daf in Masechet Shekalim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadesh, the perfect place to be talking about Shekalim, right within easy walk of the Beis HaBigdash, is daf tetvav, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah, Halacha Gimel, on Yud Dalet Amud Beis, as is introduced by our favorite Amar Kol. So now the question was, how did we interrelate the jobs of Yochanan ben Pinchas, who was in charge of the tickets, and Achia? So basically, first let's talk about the Chotamot. How many different tickets were there that were available? So there were Arba'a Chotamot Hayu B'Migdash, according to the Tanakhama. Because what the Chotamot were, these are the Chotamot that were between Yochanan ben Pinchas and Achia. Achia was in charge of the Nesachim. Now, the Nesachim, remember, there was a big problem with the Nesachim. Because they, since they were made in order to be used with a korban, so to bring the Nesachim from your own home was a disaster. Because by definition, if they were being made to be brought with a korban, so then they needed to be nasu al taras hakodesh. And they got the dinim of nasu al taras hakodesh. And the problem is something nasu al taras hakodesh is extremely sensitive to tuma. Most people are simply not equipped to deal in their homes with chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. So how in the world were they going to get the especially liquids? I mean, that's mamish a disaster. They had shemen, they had yayin. So how were they supposed to get the ingredients for the nesachim out of their home? So again, as we saw before, Hegdash was actually provided a heksher for things that they would provide in the Beis HaMikdash, which included the solas and the actual shemen and the yayin for the menachas, and for the minchas nesachim. And as we know, that the different types of korbanos, different types of animals, required a different amount. So because of that, there were four separate types of tickets which would go from Yochanan ben Pinchas's ticket office to be presented to Achia, who was in charge of the nesachim. And on these four tickets was marked, there was either a ticket for an egel, a ticket for a zohar, which is the word for ayil, and a ticket for a gedi. Now remember that a gedi in this context means any kid. So it could be a kid of a goat family or a kid of a sheep. It's still called a kid. And the fourth one said chote. Now what chote meant was a mitzora. Now, the reason that it was called a chote, obviously, is because the whole idea of the mitzora is that he's coming here to bring these karbonis in order to be mechaper on the lashon hara that he spoke that brought him to this matzav. And we want that to be continually in his mind. So the problem with him is that if he was a mitzora usher, so he needed a heck of a lot of these nesachim, because first of all, he had the osham mitzera. Now, it's true that normally we wouldn't be giving a nesachim, but the Torah specifically says that it comes together with nesachim, and he needs to bring as well his karbanos that are. Besides, remember, he's got his own problem in which he needs the luk shemen that's going to be put on him. So basically, he needs a luk shemen, and then he needs the normal. He needs his eila, his asham, and a chatas. Now, if he was poor, so then he could get away with murder because he was able to bring birds instead of his eila and his chatas. But if he's in matzera usher, which means a guy who can afford normal things. So then that would mean he would need nine separate lugin for the behemoths plus one. So he would need three for each one of the korbanos, the Ola, the Chatas, and the Asham. Well, over here at Peferish, the Chatas requires also a Shlosha Lugin, because in all of these cases, as we're going to see, he's bringing a young animal, so he's bringing a small animal, a keves, and the keves boils down to Shloishas Lugin. So he needs 3 times 3 Lugin plus 1 Lukshema. So he needs 10 whole Lugin. This is an awful lot of oil that we're talking about over here. Okay, so the smallest, of course, was 3 Lugin. So the 3 Lugin was Revia Sahin. A hin was 12 Lug. And 3 Lugs. 3 Lug equals about, equals 18 beitzim. 18 beitzim is basically this size, which is the small, actually, according to Reb Chaim Noah, it would only come up to like over about this, the lug, a single lug would be about 350 milliliters. So, and this guy needed a lot, though. He needed 10 lugin. So, okay. Therefore, he had a special ticket to provide him with that. But Ben Azai says, no, there were actually 5. And besides that, they weren't written what you said, because they were written in Aramaic. So it said, Egel Dechar. It did not say Zachar for an ayah. It said Dechar. And there was Gedi, and then there was Chote Dal and Chote Asher. So we needed to provide also for the Chote Dal, because remember that he also is in a very particular situation, because he needs an extra lug. How is he going to get that extra lug if he just buys what he needs for the single Asham that he's going to be bringing? So the Egel, that could be used for anything at all that would be the equivalent of the shor, even though it's an egel. And that was mishamish im niske bakar, because basically all type of bakar, any type of cattle, even though we refer to it lashor ha'echad, which was mashrak, this big, gigantic animal, and that's why we're using the biggest size, which is the Machzi Sahin, as opposed to a Revia Sahin, or a Shlishi Sahin for an Ayel, but it doesn't really mean a big animal necessarily. It could be any type of cattle, and this could be, it doesn't matter if it's large, if it's small, if it's male or it's female, so it could be this little Egel, basically, and it would still be given the Nesachim of a Shor. So, and the all everything else, which was Gedi would be any type of sheep or goat. So that's called the tzon, and the overall concept of tzon. And it would not matter, except for one case, would not matter whether it was male, female, how old it was, except for one case. And that's the case of the ayel. The ayel alone had its own category. And that was after its first year, when it's into its, after its 13 months. And that was Mishamesh im Niske Elim Bilvad. That was only usable for Niske Elim. And that was the larger. So we had a Chatsiahin for the largest. And then we had a Reviasahin for the smallest. And then, which was 3 Luk. And then we had an actual Shlishisahin. That was Niske Elim, which was 4 Luk. That was the only thing that was of that size. So now here's what you did. You needed Nesachim for one of these purposes. You would first go over to the ticket booth, which was in charge of this Yochanan ben Pinchas. He was the Memuna al HaChotamot, and you would pay him. You would get from him a ticket. Mikabel mimenu chotam, you would present the ticket to Achia. Achia was the next one in our Mishnah. He was in charge of the Nesachim. And he would give over the Nesachim with the Hechsher of Besdin to you to be able to use for your carbon. In the evening, after all of the carbonists were brought, They then went together to settle the accounts between them. So in that case, the Yochanan and Afia would get together. Afia would present the number of tickets that he had, and he would be motzi the chotamot. They would add up the amount of money that he was supposed to be paid in order to cover his costs for giving out the shemen and the yayin and the seiles. And then Yochanan would pay the amount of tickets that were presented. Now, if for some reason he did not have the money that was supposed to be covered by the number of tickets, he would have to cover it from his own money. So Yochanan had to be very careful about making sure that there was a complete correspondence between the amount of money in the till and the amount of money that it said on the tickets. If there was more money and somebody hadn't presented a ticket or somebody had overpaid or whatever, that goes to Hegdesh. It doesn't matter, even if at other times Yochanan had made up the difference. It's always, remember, Yad Hegdesh ala Elyona. Now, suppose a guy bought a ticket and he lost his ticket, and he would go over to the Lishka of the tickets and he would say he lost his ticket and he was not able to buy his Nesachim, he would buy another ticket. Meanwhile, he wants his money back. We would not give him his money back until that night. If when they checked the accounts together, Achia would then see that there was indeed there was more money for Yochanan than there was for tickets for Achia, and it was precisely the ticket that he had lost, the amount of money, whether whatever there was, the Gedi, the Isle, or whatever, so then they would refund it to him. But if they did not find the precise amount of extra, then they would not give it to him. Now, the ticket was also dated, because otherwise, if somebody found the ticket, then he would wait until another day, and then he would cheat, present the ticket a different day. Meanwhile, Hegdesh had covered the loss for this guy. Obviously, we couldn't have that. So the tickets also were dated tickets, not just marked and signed tickets. So now, according to Ben Azai, why did we need a separate ticket for the Chote Dal? Why couldn't he just buy a normal Gedi? Right? So that's, according to him, he basically needed an extra look because he was a Metzera. So what were we going to do for the putting the oil on him and everything that he would have to also purchase? So because of that, he included that look. So that's four. Bram, Kirabonan, the Rabbanan who argued as the Tanakam, and they said that he would just buy a normal keves, he would bring the extra lug from his home. Because since that extra lug was for his personal use, was going to be put on him, he would try to save money. I mean, look, he's an ani, and for him to pay the premium for the heksher of the Bezdin, not only that, remember there were times that in the Beis HaMikdash, if the price changed after the definition of the price, at the beginning of the month that we had before, they would not change the price. So even if the price went down, you would still have to pay full price because that's the way that the Lishka had been Meshire the price and had posted it at the beginning of the month. So for Mitzora Oni, who's going to, it's going to make a difference to him, that amount of, it's a 25% savings to bring his own. So he would bring it from his own home. Okay, so now, one thing that we don't find in the Torah is it never talks about a Rachel. How come it doesn't talk about Rachel? It talks about an Ayel, but it does not discuss the equivalent in the case of a Rachel. So what exactly would you pay for a female adult? I understand that for an Ayel, which is a male adult of the sheep family, so I would pay the extra because I would need to get four look, the shlishi sahin. But what about a female? Well, what do you mean? Read the Mishnah. The Mishnah makes that very clear. It says in the Mishnah, Gedi is useful for all type of tzon. gedolim, kitanim, zicharim, or nikevot, chutz min ha'ayim. So obviously it means male, female, even an adult female, gedolim, is exactly the same as a keves. Hada amre, nizke rachel, kenizke gedi. So that makes it very clear. And the way in which we learn this from is the beautiful pasuk, because at the end of teaching us all of the nesachim, for some reason, the Torah finds it necessary to repeat, Kocha yaseh lashor ha'achad, o la'ayel ha'achad, o la'aseh bekvasim, o v'izim. This is all repetitious. I mean, obviously, if you told me that this is what I need to bring for a shor, so I mean, what did I think, that if I bring in two shors, I can get away with one shor? I mean, of course it means that. So why does it say this, lashor ha'achad, for everyone? I understand. Ah, that's telling me any type of shor, meaning I don't care if it's old, if it's young, there's no difference. Lo chilek benisrei egel leniske shor. Why do I need to know this? Because I would have said that mitzad hasvara, since I find that in the, when it came to the dinim of the tzon, the Torah made a big difference between the young tzon and the ayah. It was the same family. So since hayabadin, that since by ben hatzon you ta'on nisachim and ben habakar ta'on nisachim, so I would say, so if the Torah makes this difference between the type of nesachim for a young keves and an older keves, which is a year older, the ayah, and over there I need shnei esronim, so I should say the same thing would be true over here. I should make the same difference in a bakar, and I should be mechalik between an egel and a big shor. It only makes sense. So lekach nachalok, I would make the same difference between niske kispa, and sorry, I went to wrong place over here. Lekach nachalok ben niske egel and niske shor. Tamad lomer kacha yaseh l'shor echad, which teaches me any kind of shor lo chilek ben niske egel and niske. Sure. Okay. Why do I need to say Ola Ayah? It's exactly the same thing. What's the Ola Ayah Hayachad? Again, because Hoya de Bedini Metzara Shechilak Ben Nizke Ben Shalom and Nizke Ben Shnatayim. If there is a difference between something that's 1 year old and something that's 2 year old, so maybe we should make the Nafkamina between Nizke Shnatayim and Nizke Shalosh. Maybe as the animal gets larger and more powerful, we should bring an extra look and treat the ayel ben sholeshanim the way we would treat sariah ben bakar. Talmud lomar, ola ayel echad, that every ayel is the same. The extra word, oh, that the Gemara darshins to tell me about the palgas in its 13th month. But that we don't discuss here. Ola sebak vasim. So why do we need to tell me that that one I bring everyone? Because Talmud lomar, ola sebak vasim. This is actually the source of what we just proved from the Mishnah, that there's no difference between the adult female and the child female, because I would have said, well, there's a difference between an adult male and a child male, so why shouldn't we assume that the same thing is true about the Rachel? Therefore, we need to repeat all kvasim are the same. And what's the point of mentioning obi izim? The same idea. Because imatzana shechilek b'nizke keves l'nizke ayel. When it comes to sheep, the older sheep is a different shear. So then maybe I should be b'chalek between an older goat, and I should make the difference between a niske gedi and a niske tayish, so that a he-goat should now be paid for the same way that I pay for an ayel, which is essentially a he-sheep. Talmud lomar ova izim. Therefore, it's coming to tell me all goats are the same. Hikish katan shebe izim, the youngest kid, is no different than the gadol shebe tayashim. Ma'azeh b'shloshes lugin, just like that is a revia sahin, the smallest shear of the yayin and the shemen, so too, avzeb is even the big old he-goat, is also b'shloshes lugim. Okay, then now the Mishnah doesn't say correctly, I mean, that the date was posted. It says the day was posted. I mean, so what good is posting the day on the ticket? I mean, can't the guy just wait for the next week, present the ticket on the same day of the week, and then how do we protect Hegdash from needing to supply twice because we already restored this guy's money when he put in his claim for his lost ticket. So Hagabatz b'chaso, I mean, think about it. I mean, if the guy would be mizayeg oto hayom, he would work out to come back on the same day of the next week. He could use it. No, because they also wrote the shame of the mishmar, hayakatuv alav. It didn't just say, let's say, yom shlishi. It said, yom shlishi lemishmar yo yadav, let's say. So then the next week it would not be. He would have to wait really until all of the mishmarot flipped again. Okay, so suppose he did. I mean, what's the big deal? Hagabatz b'chashe ziyego to mishmar. So he waits until the next time that mishmar is mishamish, and he matches up the day of that week of that mishmar. So how's that going to save us from the whole problem? No, because we also wrote the name of, besides the name of the mishmar, we wrote the name of the day of the week. We wrote the number of the Shabbos in the month. And we wrote the name of the Chodesh also. So basically, to match that up, Afilo wrote Selezayeg, Ein Motze Lezayeg. I mean, we're just going to wait 30 years until the same combination happens. That is, we're not Choshesh for. Back to the Amar Kol. Halacha Dalit. You know, Amar Kol, by the way, is very confusing in modern Hebrew because they decided to call supermarkets Mar Kols, which is a play on word of the Amar Kol because it's a market of everything. So Mar Kol is a supermarket, the same way that the Amar Kol is the superintendent, right? It's a supermarket superintendent. Anyway, very cute. But anyway, do not confuse the terms. And Richie, we were certainly not referring to you as a Talisker supermarket. And Shteli Shakota Yubit Mikdash. There were also two places where money was taken care of besides all of these places of Lishkot that we spoke about that handled money. There were, one of them was called the Lishkat Chasha'in, which was the discreet Lishka. And the other one was called the Lishkas HaKelim. Lishkat Chasha'im, Yirei Chet Notim Letocha B'Chashay. So people who wanted to give out tzedakah in a way that the person would not know that he's giving tzedakah, and they basically wanted to get a complete division between the giver of the tzedakah and the recipient of the tzedakah, and that nobody would be able to see who was taking and who was giving. So they would throw money. Yirei Chet would put money for tzedakah into Lishkat HaChasha'im, and aniyim from good families who needed to be tzanua, that people shouldn't know, and they were nofzo minichseyem, they would come and they would be supported, take money from their b'chashai, and that way never the two shall meet. The Lishkas HaKelim were people who wanted to give some actual kli as opposed to money to the Lishka, to the Merkabayin. So they would throw that kli into that lishka, and once every 30 days, they would open it up, and the gizboron would be there to see what was there. So any kli that was usable for the berakabai, let's say they found a power saw or an electric screwdriver or whatever, those are things that are very useful and could be used by the workmen for the lishka, for the people that were working in the Beis HaMikdash. So they would keep those things and use them, but the TVs they wouldn't admit to needing, so they sold them, and then the money of the TV would fall to the Bet HaKabayit. So then Asharnim Karim and Meim Noflim LeBet HaKabayit. Rabbi Yaakov Baridi and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachman, they were Parnasim over the Tzibur, and one of their duties, of course, was to make sure that people that needed tzedakah were provided with support, and they would give money to Rav Chama, who was the father of Rav Hoshaya. They would give him, let's say, a dinner. He didn't need tzedakah, but he would give out that dinner to the poor B'chashai, he knew exactly, that was Riff Kaplan's fund, basically. He knew exactly who required money, and he would get them the money in such a way that would not be embarrassing. Rabbi Zecharia, who was the chatne de Reb Levi, so he was the son-in-law of Reb Levi, and everybody was talking about him, that he was a rotten guy. He used to take tzedakah, even though he didn't need tzedakah, he had plenty of money of his own. Anyway, after he died, they were bodek his accounts, and they found out that all of this money was going to other people, and that he put himself into that position so that nobody would ever find out that these other people from the Mishpochas Tovim were getting charity. And he apparently felt that it was more kedai not to be naki mi-Hashem u-mi-Yisrael in his lifetime to be able to provide what he needed to provide for the mitzvah of tzedakah to these people. So then they realized that it was all going to the poor. And Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa, he used to give out tzedakah, maflik mitzvah. We often use the word mitzvah just to mean stam. Mitzvah stam is tzedakah. So he would give out mitzvahs at night. So one time the head of all of the shadim bumps into him and said, boy, are you in big trouble. Your rabbi never taught you what we were taught, huh? I mean, lo kein alfan rebbe, that the meaning of lo tasig vo reacha, don't go into your friend's territory. Who do you think this territory belongs to at night, my son? You is done for. So Reb Hanina Bar Papa said to him, wait a minute. Doesn't it say in the pasuk that matan baseter yichpe af? And af is a reference to those shadim and so on. If somebody who's giving out tzedakah in privacy, that is going to be kofa af totally. It'll turn it upside down. So this shade got so frightened, he ran away. And that was the end of him. Omre Bioni. It doesn't say, notice in the pasuk of Ashrei Maskil El Dal B'yomra Ayim Al Teo Hashem. It doesn't say Ashrei Notein Ledal. It says Ashrei Maskil El Dal. That means somebody who uses his brains to understand what the best way is to help out this poor in a way that won't be embarrassing for him, and so on. Maskil means to use your brains. So zershu mistakel b'mitzvah hechla sota. So what indeed did Reb Yonah himself, who was derish the pasuk, what did he used to do? Kishahayaro e'a ani ben tovim shiorad minechasav. Say, for instance, so there was somebody from a chosh of the family, and he lost his money. So he would go to him, and he said, I just got a letter from a lawyer in Budapest that your long-lost cousin died, and you're the only heir. Can you imagine? You are due for a major, major influx of cash. And look, you know, I don't mind lending you a couple of thousand, you know, to tide you over till the money gets in. So he would say, look, Tol, take money now. When the money comes in, you could always pay me back. Now, obviously, the money never came in. And the guy would say, look, it didn't. And he'd say, okay, fine. You know, say, you keep it. Meanwhile, it's no problem. Whenever it comes in, you know. And then they would just basically forget about it. So Chia Barada, and what he would do, Ditavi Savin B'Yameinu, and he said, I'm sorry, not what he would do. Chia Barada, oftentimes in Yerushalmi, it doesn't say the word Omar, as you've already seen. So Chia Barada says that we had Sabin in our days that needed tzedakah. They would only accept tzedakah, right? They would only accept tzedakah between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But if you tried to give them tzedakah any other time in the year, they refused to accept it because they said, look, after Yom Kippur, what's the point of taking tzedakah from you? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already koveya how much money we're going to have this year. So why should we take tzedakah? You keep your damn money. We'll get the money from some kind of government check or something. You know, it's no problem. It's all been decided. How did they know it wasn't decided that their money should be given by these people? That isn't very clear, right? Okay, but anyway, very beautiful. So they would only accept it because they held that during the Aseret Shemeshuvah it was still up for grabs because there hadn't been yet the Chatima. So up until the Chatima, they would accept tzedakah. Okay, you know, now you can actually help us out. But if you give us money in the rest of the year, whatever you give us, it's just going to be subtracted from somewhere else. You might as well keep it. Very sweet. Anyway, the same Nechemia that we had, the Nechemia Chofer Shichin. So Pogabo Yerushalmi Echad. So this guy from Yerushalayim meets him and says to him, Zakei Michadat Anagotel. You know, I'm going to give you an amazing schus. I am going to let you buy me a beautiful chicken because I am hungry. Now, in those days, and this is interesting, in many, many places, even Adayom in Kenya, it's like this. But in Europe, it was like this, that to get a chicken was like an incredible thing, because you could find shechtim that would shecht an animal, because they had always a deal. It was a special time to shecht an animal. They had a deal with the goy in town that if it turned out to be a treifa, so they could sell it to him. Chickens, they couldn't be sure that there would be a market for, would spoil quickly. So a chicken was very expensive because the sheikh was taking a big risk on a chicken. So this guy, that's why in my wife's family's home, they were utterly shocked that we served meat on Shabbos. Because, man, what are you giving something so junky like meat? You know, we serve chicken on Shabbos. They would only eat chicken, because by then, like, that was the cup of Shabbos. Oh, you see, have the same thing by you, Akiva? No. Okay, but so they would eat chicken. So this guy says, so I'm going to give you a schus. That's based on the whole beautiful drush of Rus, right? Aisha siti imo hayom, the one who I did a favor to. So this poor guy says to him, Nechemia, I'm going to do you a big favor, man. I'm going to let you buy me a chicken. So Nechemia says to him, well, I mean, if you're in the mood for doing favors, I mean, why don't we settle just for a steak? You know, I mean, you're asking for something so chashuv as chicken. I'll buy you steak instead. Okay, so he gives him a steak. So the guy goes in, uses the money, bought the steak. He eats the steak and he drops dead because he's not used to eating steak with his garbage. He's going to put in his stomach. He needed chicken. So Nechemia comes and he went around shouting, oh my God, come and say a hesped for the poor victim of Nechemia who murdered this poor guy by not realizing that he needs what he needs. You don't tell people what it is that they need. Another mice, of course, is the famous mice of Nochem Ish Gamzu, where he was Melech Doron to his father-in-law's house, and he was bringing Isaac in Kvot Chamiv. So he was bringing in all of this food to his in-laws. So he parks the van and he's carrying all the stuff out into the house. This guy comes over to him. Pugaba. Mukashkinachad, who was very sigai, and he says to Nochem Ish Gamzu, I'm gonna give you the schus, give me some of the stuff that you've got. So Nochem Ish Gamzu says, okay, I'm on my way back. Mishiach Zor, I'll come right back. I'm coming back to the car in a minute, and I'll give it to you. He comes back and he finds that the guy has dropped dead. So Haviomer Lakible, Einaya de Chaminach Velo Yasvan Lakistam Yan. The eyes that saw you but didn't see you, they should go blind. The hands that didn't stretch out themselves to give you something should be cut off. The feet that didn't run to give you what you needed right away should be broken. And that's what happened to him. So Rabbi Akiva went up, and he felt terrible seeing him like that. So Solik Lekavei Rabbi Akiva went up to him. And Amarla, he said to him, Oy, fei, oy, li, shani, roe, otcha, bekach, to see you like this, I can't believe it. Amarla, oy, li, shani, roe, otcha, bekach, what a shame that I see you looking so good and healthy. Chaval, chaval. Oh my God, Mat Mikalaleni, what am I coming up here to get klolas from you? So Nochem says to him, what's your problem? Mat, mevayit, be a Syrian. It's not a good idea to have Yisurin, to be Bechaper, and to be Zeichel Elam Haba. What, you're sitting over here saying, Oily, Oily, Oily. Anyway, Rav Oshaya Rabba had hired a Rebbe for his son, who was blind. Savi Rabbi Debrechat Sagi Noira. And he used to be very Mechavin him, and provide for him. So Rabbi Oshaya was in the habit of eating with him every day to bring food and so on. And one time he had a lot of guests, and he did not bring food to this guy. And that night he went over to his house to apologize and explain. So he said to Amar Lo Yiches Mori Alai, Mar should not be angry at me. I didn't want to bring you in. I had a lot of guests, and I was afraid that they wouldn't know how to be mechaved you properly. So, Da'amira, to lo levaze biyakora, demora yumadein, I didn't want you to be embarrassed eating at me. These people wouldn't realize how choshev you are. They would think you're just a poor man. So, that's why, began Cain, lo achilat demora yumadein. That's why I didn't come to you. So, he said to him, this is like similar to the Gemara that we had in Chagiga, Omale, ata payasta laman de mischami velochami. So you made somebody who could be seen by others but cannot see. And you made him feel so good. Who is the one who sees but cannot be seen. He should be mekabel what it is that you did for me and be mezaki you. So Rabbi Shaya said to him, wow, that's a hell of a bracha. Where'd you get that from? So mekabel that from someone. Adaminalech. So he said, yeah, actually, I learned it from Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. That Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov once, this, oh, chadis agin or lekarte. This guy who was blind and he was poor, and he comes to the city of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov made sure to sit him down on the table in a position that was higher than him, and he sat below him. And that way everybody would figure that this guy's a tremendous Adam Choshev, that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov would put him on the top of the table. So he wanted the Yamud, the Lula, the Avi Barnasha Rabbah, this guy wouldn't be extremely Choshev. So certainly, Lo Yosef, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Lo Ramine. So Avdin Lake Parnasa, the Yakar, so they gave him a tremendous amount of money. They were very mechabed him and so on. So he says to people, why am I, what's going on? I never got this much money whenever I went to a city. So what's today? What's so special? So, Mauhaching, what's going on? So they said to him, well, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov put you above him. So we understood that you're a great man. So that guy said to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov when he figured it out that he did done that to be mezakim and a bechubet to commandi. Manner, he said, Atagam al techesed lamanda mischami velo chami. Dein de chami velo mischami, yigmo yatach chesed. So from there I learned. Okay, so then we had, now this word is very confusing because every time you have a maisa that is said over in the Yerushalmi, we find this word, which looks like the word dilma in the Bavli and obviously does not mean dilma. Most understand it as meaning the lema. It's like this is something that is worth telling over. So it's sort of saying, let me tell you over its story. So the lema, Rabbi Chama bar Chanina and Rabbi Oshaya, they were having metailim bilein knishta delu. They were walking through these beautiful shuls. There were these gorgeous shuls. And Rabbi Chama bar Chanina says to Rabbi Oshaya, you cannot imagine how much my family invested building these shuls over here. It all came from my family. It's incredible. Kama momon shiku avotaikan. They sunk in everything they owned into these buildings. Said Rabbi Oshaya, they sunk in money. You mean they sunk in all the people that they murdered? Kanef nefashot shiku avotechakan. This is what your stupid forefathers waste their money on building shuls. Are you sick? Lo haviyit bar nash de yilun b'araita. You're telling me they couldn't have supported Tamin de Chachamim to be sitting and learning? Instead, they build beautiful shuls? You should be embarrassed. Rabbi Ovun, Ovad Ilen Tirayu, Rabbi Ovun, he made these beautiful gates that were there for the Beis HaMedrash HaGadol, the Sidra Rabba. And Rabbi Mana once came to him. So he said to him, Omalei, look at this. Did you see this beautiful gate that I made for the Beis HaMedrash? So Rabbi Mana said to him, you idiot. This is what it says in the Navi. Hosea writes, Vayishkach Yisrael et Oseyu. When Yisrael forgets HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they build Heichalot, so that they go and build big yeshivas. You couldn't have found something more intelligent for your money. Lo havi b'nei nash, the yilun b'yoraisa, what, there was no one you could have given money for to support learning Torah. What a bizoyan. My grandfather, Zatzal, used to quote this all the time. This Gemara. I remember we were walking once in Eretz Yisrael, Mamish, close to 60 years ago. And they had built, I won't even say, but they had built this big place for one of the Hasidus. And he quoted this Gemara that every time he saw something like that, he would quote this Yerushalmi. Okay, then the next thing we went to was the Lishkas HaKelim. So now, a Brisa says that Kachem is Be'ach Matzinas Ro'im and Be'ach Shibet HaKabayis. If you end up needing more karbanas, you're allowed to take money that was given to the kachay berakabayit and use it to kachay mizbeach. But you cannot take in kachay berakabayit, but tzinat zoroyla me kachay mizbeach. You certainly cannot take a urida and kedusha and over there. That money is meant for karbanas. You can't use it for supporting the building. But wait a minute. The Mishnah says, v'atanina klisha matzoba tzorach leberakabayit menichinoto. The kind of like a power tool or whatever that they could have used in the actual construction that they would keep. But everything else it says, it was sold. And what do they do with the money? It says the money went to Bet HaKabayit. According to you, the money shouldn't only go to Bet HaKabayit. The money could also go to the Mizbeach. Om Rebbe Chizkiah, you don't understand. Keni Masnisin, the pshat in the Mishnah is that the extra money would go to the Lishkas Bet HaKabayit. That's all that it means. It doesn't mean went only to the Bet HaKabayit. They would put it in Lishkas Bet HaKabayit. Then the Lishkas Bet HaKabayit, obviously you do with the Lishkas Bet HaKabayit whatever is meant to be done with the Lishkas Bet HaKabayit. Hadron Alach Perak Elu Heina Mimunim. I see you want to end. You're not giving me a fine thunder, hey, like a parrot.
Is that functional?
let's just do a little bit more so we can just take a few minutes. Second. Thank you. Okay, so now we've been talking about all the various ways that you give money. We talked about the Gizborim, we talked about the Lishkas, and as we've mentioned many times before, when we talked about Nedava, that meant that it would fall into the shofar. That was the shofar of the Nedava. And there were actually 13 different shofarot, and as we said in the last perek, that Mishnayis were created to match up numbers. And that way it would be easier for us to have sets. And there were 13 shofarot, and there were 13 shulchanot that we'll be discussing later on, and there were 13 ishtachavayot in the Beis HaMikdash, which we'll also be talking about exactly where, and there were those, Beis Rabbi Gamliel and Beis Rabbi Hanina, Sekan HaKoyanim, they added one additional ishtachavaya. Where was that extra ishtachavaya? That was by the Lishkas Dir HaEitzim, and they had a Mesorah from their forefathers that the Oren HaBrit was hidden in that area, and that because of that, they wanted to be mechabed that place. And there was a maise b'koyin echad shaya mitasek v'ra'at haritzpah shi mishuna michavrateha. So once a certain coin was like playing around in the Lishkas Edira Eitzim, and over there they had these hatchets and these carving things, and they would go over a piece of wood, cut out anything that was wormy, it was inappropriate for the Mizbeach. And he noticed, that's what happens when curiosity kills the cat, because if you've got time on your hands, you notice things that maybe you shouldn't be noticing. So, v'ra'at ha'ritzpah shimishuna michavrotea. He saw that there was like one of these stones on the floor was shaped, or it was on a different level, or different color, whatever it was, but it was different than the others. So he came to tell his friend, hey, look at that. Lo yispik l'gmar tadavar shi'atztanish mato. He dropped dead on the spot, because he wanted to be Megala, something that would have led to a discovery of where the Aron was. And that way they knew that in that area, for sure, the Aron was Gonos. Now, these shofarot are called shofarot because they're actually shaped like giant shofarot, meaning that they're curved. They have a thin mouth that you can put money in. But the money falls down along the curve into the bottom, so that there's no way that you could possibly get your hand in there to steal anything. And therefore, it's only available for deposit and not for withdrawals. To withdraw it, you'd have to pick it up, open the bottom, and so on. So they were tsarot milamala. First of all, they were akumot, so they were curved. And they had a small opening on top, and they got big on the bottom. Bipnei aramaim, because, you know, those people that pretend to be giving tzedakah, and then they're taking the change for the big coin that they put in, and somehow or other the change always equals four times the amount that they put in, and so because of that, it's not the right way to do it. Tani b'shem Reb Eliezer ha'aron galayim. Reb Eliezer holds that there was no geniza sa'orain. The orain actually had gone to Bavel, because it says beferish in the pasuk, lo yivater davar amar Hashem. So this was that horrible maaser where Chizkiyahu HaMelech had that they came and they sent from Bavel. They sent this delegation, and he goes and he shows them all of his riches, and he tries to show off to them. And we'll see later on, according to the Medrash, that he actually showed off the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, which are not meant to be shown. And he was not Sonua, mute. And because of that, so Yeshayo Anavi tells him that everything that you thought you're showing, it's all going to be taken away. Hine yamim ba'im, v'nisa kol asher bebeitecha, v'asher atzru avotecha, ad hayom hazeh, tobovel. V'lo yivater davar. So what is the lo yivater davar? Nothing will be left. Lo yivater davar is a reference to dibrais, the aseres hadibrais, because that's the oran, the aseres hadibrais were betoichai, and even that will be taken. V'cheinu omer l'tshuvat ha'shana shalach ha'melech nevuchadnezzar v'yevi'ehu bavela. This, of course, is not referring to Chizkiyahu, but this was referring to the taking of Yechoniah together with the Kalim. And it says, v'yevi'ehu bavela im klei chemdat beit Hashem. What is the kli chemdat? The kli chemdat is the Torah. So that we saw that in numerous places. Kli chemdat shebo nivra ha'olam. So this is a reference to the Aron HaBritz. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, Aymer, that's not true. The Aron HaBris was put directly into its special place that Shlomo HaMelech had built, and that's called Mikomo. And we actually find a remez to this, a weird remez, that it says in the Pasuk, so Vaya'archu HaBadim, this was like a secret place, and it says that the Badim extended, so they were seen apnei advir, but they could not be seen. So make up your mind. First of all, what does the pasuk say? I mean, it says they were seen, and then it says they weren't seen. It was or wasn't it? It was sort of. It's near in velo near in. Boltin v'yotzin kishnei dadei ha'isha. Basically, do you see a woman's breasts when she walks down the street? Yes and no. In other words, you could certainly see her breasts through her blouse. That's what it means over here. The porochot were made in such a way that you could see sticking out of the porochot, the badim, so that it should look like the breasts of a woman, because remember, that's the whole point of the yenika, of the suckling that's done to Klal Yisrael from the Torah, and that's why one was keneged Aaron and one was keneged Moshe. And the Rabbanan say that actually, Belishkat Dir Ha'itzim Hayaha Aron Ganuz, and Maaseh B'Kohen Echad, that was a Balmum, and they used to be Isaac in cleaning the wood and make sure that there were no Tola'im. Shehaya Omeinu Mefatzel Ha'itzim Belishkat Dir Ha'itzim, V'ra'at Ha'ritzpah She'im Mishtanem Mechavotah. He saw one of the stones that looked different. So he came to his friend and he said, I got to show you something. Come here. Bo Re'et Ha'ritzpah Hazot She'im Mishtanem Mechavotah. And he did not have an opportunity to show it before he died on the spot. So v'yad'u b'yichud sheshama Aron Ganuz. Rav Hoshaya has a brayta that says that he had the hammer in his hand, and he went and he banged on that stone to try to get it back into place, and a fire burst out and burned him up on the spot. Tani Reb Yehuda ben Lakish Aymer. Shnei Aronot ayu me'alchim im Yisrael b'midbar. There were two separate Aronot that would travel along in the midbar with Klal Yisrael. Echad shehayta Torah netuna betocho. So the Gra changes this not to the Torah, but rather to the Luchot. There was one that had the Luchos, meaning the Luchot Hashniim. Echad shehayu shivrei Luchot netunim betocho. The other one had the broken Luchos. I remember the way that we get all of this is because actually there's a story of two Aronot in the Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he is supposed to make an Orim. This was before the whole tzivoy of the Mishkan, while he was up on Har Sinai to receive the Luchot Shniim. So it says, there's even the sweet Pirish, make sure this time you put them in a box. The last time you held them in your hands, you busted them. I don't want to go through that again. So this time, make a box for them and put them in a box. So that box was actually another Aron, but this is before the Tzivoy to Bezalel. So therefore, we understand that Lamaisa, the way that Rav Yehuda ben Lakish sees it, is that this was a permanent situation. When the Aron shel Bezalel was subsequently made, so then they put the Luchos Hashniim in that Aron, together with the Sefer Torah. And then the Shivrei Luchos had been placed, as we'll see a Diak in the Pasuk later on, had been placed together with the Luchos originally, and they were left in that other Aray. So Zeshaita Torah Netunah B'Tocha Hayamunach Bo'el Meye. So the one that had the actual Luchos with the Torah, that would be in the Oel Meyed, and that's why it says Hadadu Chsiv, the Aron Brit Hashem Moshe, Lo Moshu Mikerav HaMachaneh. So Dafka, the Aron Brit Hashem, they didn't leave the Machane when the Jews went to fight. But Zesh Hayashiv Relu Chot Netunim B'Tocho Hayah Nichnas V'Yotzei Imahem. Masha'in Kane, the other one that had the broken luchos, those were the ones that would go in and out of the war with them, and they were viewed as a clay milchama, and that people could see. So that was, this piece, some say, doesn't belong. The Gro takes it out, because if it was Hagyotze V'nichva, so why pa'amim shaya mitra imayim? Apparently it was meant to be nira imayim. Rabbanan Amre, Masha Enkin, the Rabbanan disagree. And they say there was only one Orin, and one time that Orin was captured, and that was when it went out and wasn't supposed to go out. But because they were so terrified of the big attack of the Plishtim, they took it out with them. And it was Yotz, that was Bimei Eli, and it was Nishba. That's when the Plishtim captured the Orin. And that was basically the destruction of Mishkan Shile. Now the Pasik, Karya Misayeh Lohu L'Rabona, because when the Plishtim say, Oilonu, Mi Yatzilenu Miyada Elohim Adirima Eile, so if the Plishtim all of a sudden they go wild and they say, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Apparently something very unusual had happened. What was that unusual thing? That the Oren was brought out with them. So it's a Mila D'Lochomun Min Yomeya. This was obviously something that had never been seen before. So this is a riot to the Rabbanan that say that they did not take out the Oren. Okay, Tosus, as the big Tosus that we discussed the whole issue in Erevin, but Tosus says that obviously there's not much of a riot to the Rabbanan, because what it could mean is that they took out the Oren that Asa Betzala, which was an entirely different thing, and that they had never seen before. But it doesn't mean that necessarily there was no other Oren that had been taken out before, and that was the Oren Shasomesha. There was a simple box, and that was the one that had the Shivrei Haluchos in it. So basically, Raiders of the Lost Ark is going according to the Shita, apparently, that the Shivrei Luchos, because they only had the Shivrei Luchos. The problem is they had the Oren looking like the Oren Shasa B'Tzala, but that's a mix-up in the Sugya, because apparently they didn't learn the Gemara properly. Obviously, the Teva Sha'asa Meisha, if there was only the Luches, the Shivrei Luches, then the Teva Sha'asa Meisha did not look like the Oren Sha'asa B'Tzala. There's another big problem in Raiders of the Lost Ark, and that is a problem that comes out from the Sugya over here, is that it seems clear that Shivrei Luches does not mean that they were in tiny little pieces. It just means they were broken, but they could be fit back together again, which is a bit of a problem with the with some other midrashim. But over here, it's very clear that the luchas were fit back together again so that they could fit directly side by side with the original luchas. Okay, the Gemara and the Bavli has a different analysis of the size of the luchas, as we'll see. We're going to go through that today, Mirtz Hashem. There's also a pasuk, however, for Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish's approach, because it says, Vayomer Sha'ul La'achia. So Shaul says to Achia, this was the time that Yonatan disappeared and they didn't know what was going on and there was a tumult in the Machne of the Plishtim. So he wanted to be Shoyal by the Urim Matumim. So he said, bring the Aron Elohim, which means when you say Hagisha, it doesn't mean go back and bring it from Kiryat Yarim. It means Hagisha, bring it over here, meaning that it was on the side and he wanted to bring it over here. So apparently he held that since the halacha is that when the Kohen Gadol asks from the Urim V'Tumim, he's supposed to be facing the Oren, so he wanted the Oren to be brought to him so they could ask the Urim V'Tumim. So then, how do you explain that? Hello, Oren B'Kiryat Yarimaya. We know that the Oren at that point, that was already after the Plishtim had returned it. It was in Kiryat Yarim for 20 years. This was until David HaMelech brought the Oren to Yerushalayim. And this was, but Shaul became king, it was already in Kiryat Yarim. It was already after that Maisa. So how could it say, bring the Oren over? So the only way to understand it was that there was another Oren, and that you could be Shayal to the Urim V'Tumim with the Oren that Moshe Rabbeinu had made, and that Oren indeed had gone out to war with Shaul. So how did the Rabbanan understand this? Apparently there was an Oren besides the Oren in Kiryat Yarim.
Ma'avdunle Rabbanan, they understand that this was an orin, not for the luches. It was an orin, meaning a box, that held the big day kuna gedela, that held the tzitz. Tzitz, the tzitz is kodesh la'ashem. So they called it the Aron HaElokim, because it had the kedusha of the tzitz in it. But Lamaisa, all that Shaul was saying to Achia was, bring the tzitz, and then you'll be able to be Shael. And you didn't need that, you necessarily had to have the Aron presence. If the Aron was present, so you would face the Aron. That's how he would learn it. Kraria, Misayel Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, is another pasuk that is a raya to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, because when David HaMelech calls Uriah HaChiti to try to cover up the fact that he got Uriah's wife pregnant, so he calls Uriah HaChiti and he tells him that he wants him to go home and to spend some time with his wife and so on, so that way he could blame the pregnancy on Uriah. And Uriah, he said, he's in Beshumof and not going to do that. So what did he say when he rejected David HaMelech's tzivui? He said, Ha'aron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda yoshvim basukot, that it's completely inappropriate that here on the Aron HaBris in Yisrael and Yehuda are yoshvim basukot and Adoni Yoav, have they Adoni apnei asadeh achonim, and I should go home and go sleep with my wife. It's outrageous. I swear I'm not going to do it. Right? So he says, Chayecha v'chinav shecha, that language is obviously Merida b'malcha, so that was the basis of getting Uriah shot. But the bottom line is that Uriah mentions the Orein, and he says the Orein are out on the Machana in Sukkot. So how do you explain that? According to the Rabbona, this clearly seems to be saying, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, what indeed will the Rabbona do with this? So what exactly would it mean? Halo Aron b'tzionaya. If the Aron was with them, then this comes after already the Maisa where David was Ma'ala the Aron to hear David. So what's going on? Ma'avdin le Rabbanan, what would the Rabbanan do with this? Rabbanan say that Uriah HaChiti was in deep pain because it wasn't in a bias yet. It was under a sukkah, so to speak. That's why I said besukot. He was very upset that David HaMelech had brought the Aron to Yerushalayim, but had not built the Beis HaBechira, which meant that the Aron was being kept under temporary storage. And because of that, again, the way Tosfos understands it in Erevin is that Uriah HaChiti was machmer on himself. That normally, remember the Gemara said over there, that the Malach that came and appeared to Yoshua was very angry. Part of the Inyanim he was angry at was the fact that because Yoshua had kept Yisrael out in the field, nobody was allowed to sleep with their wives. And therefore, it was going to be a pigia in Piria Verivia. So this approach says that no, actually the Aron was not kept elsewhere. But Uriah was being machmer on himself that since he had a tremendous tsar, that the Aron was not in the proper bias, and put that together with the fact that Klal Yisrael is Bitzar, so he was Machmir as if the Aron was out in the battlefield with them. That's the pshat, that he's putting it together. So Tosfos understands it. And because of that, he said, it isn't appropriate for me to sleep with my wife. So Ma Avdin Le Rabbanan Schach. It didn't mean literally that it was there. It meant that it was out under a temporary roof, which is like Sukkot. That's why he said that it was Sukkot.